This morning, we looked at sort of Luke's version of the this little section with Jesus loving these children, and then the rich young ruler, and then of course it ended with his love of Peter, and Peter's kind of statement and question, and how Jesus responds to him. And I told you this morning that we were going to really focus in on that. We're really focusing in on just the last part of what Jesus said to Peter. I've given you the whole Mark passage because I might refer back to it a little bit, but I'm really only interested in Mark 10, verses 28 and 30. And one of the reasons I'm using Mark here is because Mark adds a little color that Luke doesn't have. He just says a few things in a different way sometimes. In some ways, I wish I could, just for the sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole passage to you, but you would see Mark's, what I said this morning about Mark saying, astonished, amazed, all these different things. He always says something, very expressive in his writing in that way. So what I really want to focus on, I just want to read the last portion here where we begin in Mark 10, verses 28 to 30. And we're really going to contemplate here. The reason I'm kind of picking this is this morning Jesus says you will have blessing in this life. You come after him. And I know that focusing on eternal life, wonderful, and we do that a lot. And I really want us to focus now. That's where our focus will be. So notice that he's going to say you have blessing here and now in Christ. So let's give our attention to Mark 10, 28 through 30. So Peter began to say, remember, this is after Jesus has just said what is impossible with man is possible with God. Verse 28, Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this little passage, these few words that Peter says to you, Lord Jesus, and that you respond to him. May we be encouraged by this. May we drink deeply of your word. May we drink deeply of your promises to us that we can even have today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I said, beginning this, really want us to get our minds around, I think probably the difficult part when we read this, it could be difficult for us, is talking about the blessings we have now. He says, if you leave house, if you leave family, if you leave lands, all these various things, he says, you're going to have blessings now, 100-fold. And I imagine that many of us go, I think if I left my house, I would not have a house. So there could be a question about some of those things. But I want us to look at this through a certain lens. But first, begin here with verse 28. Look at what happens here. Peter began to say to him, see, we have left everything and followed you. It sounds like Peter has more of a speech to say. Peter began to say. It's almost as if Jesus interrupts him. Peter began to say, but see, we followed you. You know, we've left everything. And Jesus goes, I have something you need to hear. Before you continue, let me tell you the promises. Let me tell you what you need to hear. And here's the thing about these apostles, these disciples, many of them actually did do this. They left family. They left homes. They left businesses. We know this, right? To follow the Lord wherever he goes. So for them, in many ways, it was a literal thing. Some of us are called to do that. Some of us are not. But for them, this is very real. What do we do? Is this going to be worth it? And so Jesus interrupts him and I'm just going to read this again. Then we're going to focus in on a couple of things. Just so our eyes have seen it a couple of times. Jesus said, truly, I say to you, There's no one who's left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father and children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time. What do they receive? Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands. Notice this, with persecutions and the age to come, eternal life. I wonder how we internalize this. I wonder how we hear Jesus' promise of a hundredfold blessing. A hundredfold coming from the Lord's hand if you leave for the sake of Jesus. You leave your home and you leave your family and lands and all these things. I wonder how we internalize that. Do any of us kind of look back and go, not sure about that. I think I know people that have left their homes and they didn't get it back. I think I know people who have left families. They didn't get their family back. I think I know situations that did not work out like what Jesus is necessarily talking about. This is where some of these things are probably literal, and some of them we have to have the spiritual eyes to see them. What's Jesus getting at? What's he talking about? How do we understand the blessing that he is dealing with? And so what he's talking about here, what he provides is not so much those specific things all the time, but what they represent in many ways. And that's sort of the lens through which I want to say, and once I do the first one, you'll sort of understand the angle at which I'm going to take these. And so the first one is this. He says, if you leave a house, you're going to get houses. What does a house represent for you? Be interesting to ask this question. You can't answer right now. Later on, you can tell me. But it would be interesting to find out, what does a house represent? Let's go easy. Shelter. Safety. Security. Right? Shelter from what? The storm. The storms of life. Right? The storm of God's wrath. So in a sense, you give up house, you get a real house. A true house. You're like the three little pigs. You're the first guy that gave up the straw house. How'd that go for him? Not good, right? Where did he end up? In a brick house that couldn't be blown down. That's the trade-off you're giving, basically. You're giving up your straw house that will be shattered by God's wrath, by the world, and you're coming to a brick house that the wolf really can't blow down. Start to get your mind around these elements, what he's saying that are the blessings you get. And don't think of them as literal houses. What does it represent? A refuge. A true refuge. How about this? Does a house represent peace? Is it like a sanctuary to you? I know that seems weird with two, you know, with a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old who don't seem very peaceful right now. Is your house peaceful, though? Is it a sanctuary? Mine feels that way. I love going home. I love to have that peace. What do we get from God with regard to peace? You get peace with him. Like, I wonder if we're so used to having peace with God that this is like the hills in Pennsylvania that you're so used to. You drive by them all the time and you go, elevation, pretty tree, and you just keep driving, right? If you know the Lord and you've known him for a long time, you're just used to having peace with God. You read Romans 5, therefore we have peace with God, and you go, yep, box checked. But he's saying you can experience that peace. Do you know that peace within? We've all had relational strife. All of us have relational strife. It's nothing compared to the relational strife that we have with the Lord. We caused every bit of it. Every bit of the problem with our relationship with him. We're the ones who disrupted it. And he's the one who fixed it by his son. And he gives you peace with him. That means there's nothing that comes from his hand other than love and mercy all the time. Do you experience the peace? Do you know that in your heart? Or is it just something that's a proposition that's sort of like 1 + 1 = 2? Or do you know, I know that I can go to God. I have that peace with Him. He's saying we can have that. And we should experience that in this life. How much greater is peace with God than your physical house? You can't answer right now. Sorry. Answer later. It is so wonderful. Well, okay, he says house. Well, what about, he says this thing, land. Now, if you think about land, what's the importance of land? Land was probably important for a multitude of reasons. But you know what I thought of when I thought of land? The Dixie Chicks song, Wide Open Spaces. Do you remember this song from late 90s? Wide Open Space. You remember this one, right? Dixie Chicks have disappeared, right? Wide open spaces. When you think of wide open space and you think of big land, what do you think of? Freedom. Freedom. One of your blessings in the Lord Jesus Christ is freedom. My little boy over there needs tons of room to do flips and turns and not break something. He needs lots of space, lots of freedom to be a kid and run around. You have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has set you free from what? The law of sin and death. And what that means, part of what that means, is that you're free from having to fulfill the law perfectly in order to earn His favor. You're off the performance treadmill. You don't have to worry about that. Now you follow the law not in order to gain eternal life, but you follow the law because you have eternal life. You are free in the Lord. Truly free. And then closely connected to this idea of land, in Rome in the first century, you know the way the person with the most land was seen in the city? They were seen as the most important person. So the more land you had, the bigger deal you were. How does that work today, I wonder? If you had more land, you were a big deal. Here's what this means. Person with more land made a name for himself. You, in Christ, no longer have to make a name for yourself. No longer are you trying to create your own importance. No longer are you trying to create your own prestige. No longer are you after what the world describes as prosperity and identity. Now you are free and you enjoy the name in which Jesus has proclaimed upon you. A name of love, a name of mercy, the name of my people. You're no longer on this idea of how do I, you know, earn what the world thinks is so important. You don't have to do that anymore. God loves you, cares for you, has given you His Son, and now you find your identity in Him, not in your things, not in your possessions. What else about land? What about a stable future? I think that was probably something for people, especially at that time, if they had land that would kind of ensure future. What does Jesus give you? Do you have a stable future? And what I mean by that is, can you know, well, let's say it this way. Do you know for sure that Social Security is going to last? How many of you are banking on that? How many of you know that your 401k is going to survive? We think these things are like eternal. They're not. They can collapse in a heartbeat. If all that collapses, your future is with the Lord. You have Him. He's not like a 401k that goes up and down. He's not like Social Security, which is a joke. Okay. That's land. Okay, one more here. What else does he name? It's probably near and dear to our hearts. He talks about leaving family. And when I think about family, I mean, there's multiple things I think about. I'm sure you think about it too, but just think about fellowship. What are y'all here? You know, I left two parents. They live in Texas. And I traded them for you. Now you get to tell me what to do. There are people who have lost family from coming to know the Lord. They've been rejected by their own family. People die. All different types of reasons you move away. And what does God do? He has provided each of you for each other in fellowship, that you would know each other. You've left family. He provides a church. He provides people that you spend time with, provides people that support you and care for you, provides people to love on you. Blessings. Do we see things this way? He's wanting our eyes to see life this way. How about joy with each other? Don't y'all enjoy each other? I love being with y'all. Yes, I said y'all. And you should say it too. It's more joyful. Don't you enjoy each other? Don't you get a sense of joy from being with each other? I hope so. And see, when you didn't really ever leave joy, you actually stepped into joy when you got Jesus. Pure joy with him that he provides in a tangible way in this family here, in these people. You know, of course, none of that really compares on some level to the fellowship that we have with Christ and with the triune God. And I want to just one little thing about fellowship. Just think about this for a minute. What do you know about God that the rest of the unbelieving world doesn't know? A lot. You know him. You don't just know things about him as far as his power, his gloriousness, you know, these words that we use. You actually know him personally. You get to sing to him. You pray to him. You read his word. His spirit is within you, making him present with you. Is that not an experiential blessing even now? Or are these just words that we say? He's wanting us to understand this is real. You not only have fellowship with each other, you have fellowship with the triune God even now. And how much more when we head into the next life? Now, Mark, one of the things he colors his passage here, I'm pretty sure you caught it because I pointed it out, is different from Luke. There's a couple things that are different. Notice that he said, with persecutions. Do you know that's sort of like reality check? You know what Mark said? Let's get real. Yes, there's blessings in this life. Yes, you have a measure of those blessings now, but life is hard. And it's not going to come without persecution. It's not going to come without great difficulty. Why? Because you have to share in all the blessings that come with Christ. You know one of the blessings in this life that come with knowing Christ? If we ever see it as a blessing, persecution and suffering. It's part of it. We're called to share in the sufferings of Christ. He suffered and so will we. Great persecution. Maybe for us, might be not. Depends. You look at the world. The family of God is being persecuted all over. It's part of our existence, even though we don't experience it here. See, this thing about taking on, one way to sort of put this together is to get our hearts and mind like leaving this world. The way he talks about giving everything, right? Those who have, you give everything to have Jesus. Another way to kind of think about that is a way we leave the world. And I don't mean that like physically necessarily, but we leave it in our heart. You know, we grab a hold more of the new world, the new life that we have that is coming, the new life that is in Jesus Christ. And that's not something we can do once. It's something we have to continue to press into continually. That we would take and drink these blessings of knowing Jesus. Because we're not just pressing into another world. We're pressing into a person. That's what he's talking about here. That we would know him. These are the spiritual lenses by which we should see life. We can enjoy life, our possessions, the things we have, the people we know, the life we have in Christ because we have new life in Him. Do you see those blessings? Do you drink of them even now? May we begin to see those more and more as we know Christ. Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, it is sometimes hard in this life to see what Jesus has said. We see often the people give their lives for the gospel. We see people give up many things for your sake and for the gospel. And you promise blessing. Lord, in our hearts have a hard time sometimes believing that is true. And we hold on to the things of this life because we think they're better. Lord, may you continually show us that you are better, that you are the best, and that we would indeed give up the things of this life and take hold of our Savior and all that comes with Him. It's in His great name we pray. Amen.